Praise God. We're starting a new series this month called Freedom from Within. Freedom doesn't come from out here. It doesn't come because you have a right job. It doesn't come because you have a beautiful husband or a beautiful wife or whatever, or beautiful kid. It doesn't come from that. It comes from within. You have something on the inside of you that was birthed inside of you by God. God redeemed you. And He formed in you a new creation that is a new wineskin that He can pour everything He is into that wineskin and it won't burst. It will contain it and you have control over it. The spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. You and that applies to all things. Self-control. The last fruit of the spirit that is listed. But you know it is the key to all of the fruit of the spirit when you yield your flesh to love, to joy, regardless of what you're going through, to peace, when you yield yourself, it's self-temperance. And in therein lies freedom, in the fruit of the Spirit. You were born again, and the fruit of the Spirit was formed on the inside of you. It comes with the package. You don't have to go get love. You don't have to go get joy. You don't have to go get peace. You don't have to go get patience. You exercise what God's given you, and it'll start to multiply. It's a wonderful thing. Amen. Praise God. Freedom. And so today we're going to talk, what is freedom? You and I are born in a fallen world, subject to corruption of this world, subject to wrong teaching. If you went to public school when you were a kid like I do, believe me, you were loaded with all kinds of false teaching. You had atheists speaking into your life. You had socialism. They stopped. When I reached junior high school, they stopped history. And they called it social studies. Now, then that morphed into, what was that thing that Obama introduced too? Common Core. Or was that Bush? Common Core, which was the same thing, and socialism. And socialism is nothing more than communism with lipstick. The only country in the history of the world that abdicated the power of its government and delegated that back to the people. And look how long it's lasted. We are in our 250th year right now. Praise God. Culminating next July 4th will be 250 full years, the longest constitution that has ever existed in the world. You've heard the stats on that. You've heard me say that the most constitution, in fact, every constitution was written and designed to last forever. But the average length, the average life of a constitution in this world is 17 and a half years. That's all. That's it. Then somebody else comes in and conquers them and da-da-da. They sow their seeds of deceit and deception and everything, and they vote that way, and that constitution's ripped up. This one's lasted 200 and some odd years. 1789 was when the Constitution was written, which was 6 years after the Revolutionary War was over. And it has endured, even through Obama, even through Biden. I mean, you talk about on purpose trying to destroy everything, the fiber of this country and everything, to the point where they didn't know what was male, female, or anything else with 97 genders. You got to be kidding me. The insanity that people were buying into shows that the educational system of this nation was corrupt for decades and decades now, and has culminated in that. God hasn't changed. It's still male and female. Just so you know. Oh, praise God. And it's still sin. It's not just issues. It's righteousness. It's not just do good as you can. No, you received a gift of righteousness where you are totally accepted by God. Not based on you, based on the blood that was shed for you. Based on that. Now you're in full gear, and you can just put it down to the floor and run with it. Amen. What is freedom? Isn't it incredible? We have a word like freedom, and we hear it. We see it used in context and so forth, and you really don't understand the ramifications of it or how it's really defined, and you just kind of put it in that junk drawer in your mind for future reference with all the other nebulous phrases and words that are in that drawer for a future time or future. That's a trick of the devil. You don't do anything tomorrow. Did you know that? You do it today. Because if you're going to do it tomorrow, it's never getting done. You'll never really come to the end of that. And what is freedom? What it is? What is freedom? Isn't that a frustration in your heart, in your mind, that you want to know what it is? What does it look like? How do I know when I get there? What is freedom? And like everything else in the Bible that is something that is simply beyond human understanding, it is defined for us in the Bible through illustration. There's no real definition. Paul referred to the fact that when they were about to whip him and they were putting thongs and stretching him around that pole, and he said, is it lawful for you to beat a man who's uncondemned? In other words, without a court hearing? I'm a Roman. He was a Roman citizen. He fell back on his Roman citizenship more than once. And who can blame him? I mean, why not? Can you? That's in the Bible for a reason. And so that guy went out, and he got the captain of the guard, and he came in, and he said, are you a Roman? He said, yes, sir, I am. He said, you know, it cost me a whole lot of money. With great price, I obtained this freedom. In other words, in those days, if you were considered a Roman citizen, and you were carte blanche, you had rights and privileges that nobody else in the world had. And so people would basically enter into a mortgage relationship and pay until they would be Roman citizens. I mean, if they found a body in the ditch, the first thing they would look for is some kind of sign, a ring or some kind of tattoo or something that would show that they were a Roman citizen. And if they weren't, they just left them there. If they were, then they would do a full-scale investigation just to see what happened to this Roman citizen. So it was a valuable thing. But you see what they called it? They called being a citizen free. You were free. Free from what? Well, free from accusations, free from this, free from that, free from the other thing. They had something called a triumvirate, which was a three-party government, which came and went and slowly disintegrated into an emperor who was a tyrant named Nero. And Nero basically, his destruction was that he hated God's people. He hated Christians. He resented Jews, but he hated Christians. Anyhow, what is freedom? Freedom, 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 freedom. Turn with me to John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Jesus is speaking to those Jews which believed on him. Now, you got to understand, the Jews in this case wasn't just Jewish people. Like Mary and Joseph are Jewish people, the people in Nazareth. The Jews referred to the Jewish leaders, the Pharisaical order, the Levitical priesthood, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin. So he's talking to authoritative leaders of the Jewish people, and that this was their religious hierarchy. And in that religious hierarchy was all of their laws, their legal system, and everything was in the law of Moses, which they were doctors of the law, they were scribes and so forth. So he's saying to these people who are supposed to be very well respected and admired and honored among the people, he's saying, if you continue in my words, then you'll be my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. What's the implication? They weren't free. That's what they resented so much. Are you saying that we're in bondage? Later in this very chapter, they're saying, are you saying we're in bondage? We've never been bondage to any man. And here they are talking about not being in bondage to any man, and they are owned literally by the Romans. The Roman government had come in, set up its own government, and they're in bondage to them. They pay taxes to them. They owe them. Gee. And they're so blind that they can't see that they are in bondage to another government that has usurped them. So he says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth. Remember Pilate said, what is truth? Well, that's the title of our message today, is what is truth? What is truth? And Jesus said, if you continue in his word, you'll know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Everybody say free.
Free.
Free. I can hear Martin Luther when he stood in Washington. He said, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. That was his dream. Men like, you know, he had problems and everything, but thank God for him. You get behind people, you don't, anyhow. He had freedom. He didn't have retribution or revenge or anything like that in mind. He had freedom. And why is that wrong in a country that declares that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? If you continue, you know, think about this. What happened if you were ever brought over on a ship with a chain around your neck and sold, and you are the property of another person? Come on. You've been made free. And the thing is, before you were born again, you had a chain around your neck and you were a slave to a person who convinced Adam and Eve that they needed to eat something that they shouldn't eat.
That's right.
Convinced them that they were something that they were not, you know, that they weren't what they were. He said, no, you'll be like God. They already were like God. You see, it's so deceptive. And many people, and I'm talking about Christians, they have a chain on their ankle, a ball and chain on their ankle, on each one of them. They have handcuffs, and they have incarcerated minds that they haven't renewed. We're talking to born-again people. We're talking about born-again, spirit-filled people. We're talking about born-again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, prophesying people. Continue in his word, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. How do you know you get there? You know it. You know it down in your knower. Oral Roberts used to say that. You know it down in your knower. Down in your knower that you know that you know that you know in your knower that you're free. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you something. What does it make you? See, there's a word, make. He said, I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I'll make you. Follow me, and I'll make you. And you'll be something else. You know, if God can take, you talk about a scoundrel like Saul of Tarsus, an ambitious, self-promoting, ardent, I can't, he doesn't even describe it. He just says what he went through afterwards. But the thing was, he was a tyrant. He killed Christians. He arrested them, brought them to Jerusalem, either to confess or to deny Christ or to be executed. And he was right there trying to get them to blaspheme before they were killed. This is the type of guy he is. And if God can take that man and turn him into the greatest saint that ever was, besides Jesus, the most powerful man in the earth, who turned the world upside down and convinced others also. If he can do that if God can transform him in that way, can't he do that with you? Let go of the world. Let go of the world's values. Let go of the world's mind. Let go of the world's priorities. Let go of the world's motives. Let go of the inner things in you that were formed in you by this world. If you just let them go, let them go, let them go. That is opening the door to a free life, to freedom. and you'll walk in it, and you'll know it, and you'll speak it, and you'll think it. And then all you'll want is to have that door to fear close behind you. And walk in the love of God, and you won't be afraid. Amen? Turn with me to Romans 8:15. You know, these people that Jesus was talking to, they were Jews who already believed. They believed he was Messiah. They believed they believed he was the one who should come, that prophet who should come. They believed it. They even asked John the Baptist, are you? No, he's coming though. And when he came, John the Baptist declared him, and the dove came down, enveloped Jesus, and drove him out into the wilderness, not to be defeated, but so that he could overcome. And he could show the devil who's in charge here. That's what we need to do. And how did he do it? With the written word of God. The whole word, Jesus is the word of God. The word was with God, the word was God, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The whole word is who he is. And that still has creative power in it. And if that word abides in you, you have creative power in you. And his voice activated. Praise God. Romans 8, verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of what? Adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You know, there's great revelation right in this verse because it says that fear and bondage are connected. They are linked. And as soon as you're afraid to do something, you know, every time when God tells you to do something, just do it. Yes. Just do it. If you hesitate, you give place to fear. And then you start to ask, why? And it's always there. And you need to throw that fear aside and just do what he says to do. Do what he says to do. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer, only deceiving yourself. Fear leads to deception, leads to everything else. Not doing the word. And if you don't do the word, what happens? Nothing. Was that too hard for you? Was that too simple for you? If you don't do the word, guess what happens? You're not a foundation builder. He who hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house on a what? On a rock! Amen. And it won't be moved. Let the world have at it. Jesus will be standing in that house with you. Mm. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Fear and bondage, you know, it says that you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth in Proverbs 6:2. Says that. It says that Proverbs 29, I forget the exact verse, Proverbs 29 says that the fear of man brings a snare. Have you ever met somebody who looks like they're afraid of their own shadow? I mean, I've seen people like that, and no eye contact, they're shaky in their voice, or they'll giggle after every sentence, and it's a nervous thing. That's all connected to fear, the spirit of fear. And it brings them bondage. And they're afraid to do anything because they're afraid if they say something, people might disagree with them. I don't care if anybody disagrees with me. I'm going to let them have it. Right? Yeah, I think you guys figured that out yet. You know, I mean, we've had people leave. When I started talking about the socialist government that was in place the last 4 years. And they left. Well, you know what? There's no agreement there. Why would they want to be here? There's no fellowship. Darkness doesn't fellowship with light. Righteousness has no fellowship with darkness. You know, socialism has failed every single time. It has never succeeded. You know, I like Margaret Thatcher put it this way. She says, you know, the problem with socialism is after the government gets through spending your money, it goes broke and everybody is broke. Oh, But you know, I remember Milton Friedman. Everybody hear of that? You hear of him? He was one of the great economists of the last century. Milton Friedman was just absolutely wonderful. And he was on the Phil Donahue show, and Phil Donahue, you know, he was so left, he was falling off the left thing. And after 25 years of Phil Donahue, men didn't know who they were, women started taking over. It was all out of balance. You know, that's out of biblical order. But Milton Friedman, he came on, and he's the economist answer man. And Phil says, now, let me ask you this, the free enterprise system, and does that really work with wealth distribution and everything? Is it really fair? Is it a fair system? He says, you know what? You're assuming a lot, Phil. You are assuming a great deal about equality and all of these other things. You're in a free market system. And he said something to the effect of, you look at the countries of this world. He says, you think China doesn't run on greed? You think Russia doesn't run on greed? They run an absolute, that's all they have. They don't have any truth to back it up. They don't have any. You think they don't run on greed? Of course they do. They run on greed. So the free market system comes in, and it really taps into the creative nature that God made us to be. That's the free market system. Now, are there injustices in the world? Yeah, there are. People are born with deformities and things like that. It's not a fair shake for them. However, there were people who were deformed in Jesus' time. And what did he do? Hold out your arm. He didn't have one, but he held out the stub that he had. And whoa, look at that. People who didn't have arms, legs, who knows what the deformities were? Why limit it? He made them. I'm getting way off my message here, but God's taking me places here. And I guess you're involved in that. So, we say this, I have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But I have received the spirit of adoption, by which I say, Abba, Daddy, Father. Think of that. Think of the power you have right there. Which one of you parents, if your children let out a bloody scream, help, wouldn't you drop everything and come to them? When you say, Abba, Father, and you cry out to him as your daddy, don't you think he's going to drop everything and say, come to me. Oh, you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'll comfort you. I'll lift you up. I'll wipe away your tears. One day he'll wipe away all our tears. And that'll be the end of it. It'll be brand new everything. Freedom, freedom, freedom. Say, well, how does this help me? Well, you got to look at it. Fear is the manifest presence of the devil. Strife is rooted in fear. It is the manifest presence of the devil. Anxiety is the manifest presence of the devil. Fear is of the devil. It doesn't come from God. Why would God be afraid of anything? Is a bird afraid of heights? You know, no fish is going to be afraid of drowning. So here's the thing. It's just totally against his nature to be afraid. Why? When you see him, you'll know why. And you know what? It says in John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, when we see him, we will be like him, for we'll see him as he is. This is why it's important. Read through the Gospels. Or Robert said this. Read through the Gospels 3 times in 30 days. The Gospels and the book of Acts. three times in 30 days. And you will get such an image of Jesus on the inside of you. Have you done this? Anybody ever did this before? And do it. Read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Do it three times in 30 days. And he started doing it, and the Lord's kind of stopped, and he said, Oral, do it on your knees. Yes, sir. And he did. And he said he walked out after that. About a week after he stopped doing that, he had such a vision of Jesus, who Jesus was in him, and who he was in Jesus. That's your image. And once you have the image on the inside, you're not going to be... Before I was saved, I couldn't even finish a conversation, couldn't look anybody in the eye, couldn't even converse with anybody. I played in a band for 7 years, and I rarely even looked at the bass player in his eye. We just talked, and I was like this. I was so introverted. I couldn't imagine doing what I'm doing now. I could not imagine. It was not even in... It wasn't even there. It wasn't on the table. It was not a reality or anything. Jesus, the Son of the living God, came into my life. Have I been perfect? Gosh, no. No. You don't have to be perfect. Do you understand that? In my weakness, he is made strong. And what man of God doesn't want to say, Lord, I can't do this. I need your strength to go through me. I need your strength in my weakness. You start relying on God. Then you realize another capacity of you is just taken over. And suddenly, you're walking free from fear. Because you're experiencing something that you've never experienced before, and it brings you up to another level. And then you realize... And if you continue in that and continue in that and continue in that, you'll know the truth. And the truth will make you something that you never were before. Free. Free. That freedom is what this country was founded on. Don't let anybody ever tell you that it's just freedom of religion. This country was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Without the gospel of Jesus Christ, religion is religion. Without the resurrection of the dead, he's just a propounder of some new religion. Without dying for our sins and all that, the completion of that, there would be no justice. There would be no time in the future when justice was actually settled or would be, where the rights will be made wrong and the injustices will answer to God's justice. None of that would happen. And we'd be free-floating chaos. Why not? There's no consequences. There's no justice. There's no right and wrong. There's nothing like real freedom. Oh, that's what the gospel is all about. Because if you read that again, he said to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my words, then are you my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Said the truth will make you free. You're my disciples. You know, here's the word disciple is a really cool word. And in Middle French, it kind of morphed over to this because French called their students, they called disciples or learners, they called them pupils. You know why? Because they called the eye a pupil. Pupue, or whatever it is in French. Oh, yes, monsieur. monsieur. So they call the eye the pupil because when you learn something, this is like 15th century French. They converted disciple into pupil because what it did, it reflected what a student is all about, what a learner is, what a disciple is all about. It in your pupil, it's looking intently into the eyes of your teacher until you see your face in their eyes and they see their face in your eyes. This is what happens when you read the Word of God It is reading you. And your pupils suddenly are filled. You're seeing his reflection in your eyes. And he's seeing his reflection in your eyes. It's not up to you. It's not up to your strength. If you're in a weak spot, hit the floor. Say, God, I need you. Abba! Daddy! Come! Ever-present help in time of need. He doesn't have to come with a flashlight. He is the flashlight. He just comes in and looks at that and says, oh, go. Get up. Now what he said? He said to people, rise and go. When he healed them, he said, rise and go and show yourself to the priest. You know what that did? That gave them a chance to put action to what happened to their faith. And what they, your faith has made you whole, now go. And they were putting action to their faith. You need to do that too. You need to put action to your faith. After you have an encounter with God, put action to it. Right there, like I was talking to Stephen. He said, you know what? The computer went down again. It failed. I said, talk to everything in that computer, everything in these chairs, everything in this building came from this earth. It was formed out of some mineral or whatever of this earth, some clay or whatever it is, oil. Everything that is made came from something in this earth. And we have been given dominion over all the earth. Yes. Talk to it. And when you know it, when you start talking to that thing, all of a sudden an idea will come to you and say, oh, that's what it is. Can you fellowship with me on that? All of a sudden, where's the freedom in that? Well, it's right here. You start talking to it from a position of dominion and authority that you have been given, and you take it, and then God says, okay, and the Spirit of God starts informing you of things. This is exactly what's wrong. This is exactly what you do. This is exactly what you have. This is what you're looking at. And if you have to go to Best Buy, or if you have to go to somewhere else in the health food store, or whatever, to get this, that, and the other thing, go get it. Just go do it. Do what he says to do. And that is your pathway to freedom. Continue in my word. And you're my disciple. You'll see my reflection. I'll see my reflection in your eyes, and you'll see my reflection in it. You'll see your reflection in my eyes. There'll be a communication there that never existed before. And it starts to link you to a path that leads to freedom. Freedom, freedom, freedom. Some people say, yeah, it's just the carrot before the horse. No. The path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter until the noonday sun. We're going to talk about that next week. Righteousness of God. Praise God. Get anything out of that today? If you didn't, I did, so I'll take it all. Hope you did. Father, we praise you for your word. We thank you that you are a present help in time of need. We thank you that your word is the law of liberty. Ah, thank you, Lord. And we will not hold back. We will be careful to be not forgetful hearers, but doers of the word, and receive the blessing, the freedom, the power that comes to us, and the empowerments that come to us through your word, through walking in truth, which is why you have no greater joy than to know your children walk in truth. We'll take the truth, we'll walk in it, and we will become freer and freer and freer and freer and freer from things that we never thought we'd be free from. Thank you, Lord. Reveal to us supernaturally the plots of the enemy, the traps and snares of the enemy as we go into this week. Thank you once again for this nation that has endured because you founded this nation. Instructed us in righteousness to come up with a constitution that absolutely obliterated all enemies, foreign and domestic. Thank you, Father, that no one will stand a chance against this nation. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. And we continue to hold up those who have lost so much. We just pray the God of all comfort come to them through people, through media, through everything, all things available that you have on the earth to work all things together for their good through this prayer and intercession. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.